All right, let's start. So we're learning Gemara Shabbos, Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis. The reason we're doing that is because Hanukkah is coming up. And the only place that Hanukkah is mentioned, at least in volume, in Shas, is in the Gemara and Shabbos. There's only one Mishnah, actually, that mentions Hanukkah at all. Anybody know where it is? There's only one Mishnah in the entire Shas that mentions anything about Hanukkah.
Hi, guys.
Nice to meet you.
One, two, three.
You sold out?
Well, hopefully we'll see it later.
Where was it?
Well, we'll see it later, hopefully. I believe it's Boga Kama. It's a random thing. The Gemara in Shabbos mentions it, but really mentions it in the context of Shabbos, and the Neros Shabbos. We are actually in the second parak of Shabbos, which is Bamei Matzukim, which some of you may remember from when you were Ashkenaz.
None of us will say it, Shabbos.
And of course, the Mishnayos at the beginning of Matzukim is all about what do you light Shabbos candles with, right? What kind of oil do you use to light Shabbos candles with, and what can't you use to light Shabbos candles with? And in that context, at the bottom of the Gemara, right, on the first daf, Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, all the way at the bottom, the Gemara about Hanukkah goes on for about 2.5 blocks, and it's all good stuff. But we don't have time to do all of it. Maybe we'll do another one before Hanukkah or something. But we'll start here. All the way at the bottom, the last three lines. Amar Rav Huna. Everybody see where I am? Mm-hmm. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Psilos v'shmanim sha'amru chachamim ein manlikin behen b'shabes, ein manlikin behen b'chanukah, bein b'shabes bein b'chol. So Rav Huna comes out and he says, you know, you have this list of the shmanim that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos. So he says, guess what? Those shmanim you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, and you're also not allowed to use for Hanukkah. And when I say you're not allowed to use it for Hanukkah, what I mean is you're not allowed to use it on a Sunday night or a Monday night or a Tuesday night, and you're not even allowed to use it for Hanukkah candles on a Friday night, meaning Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon. Meaning for Hanukkah candles for Friday afternoon going into Shabbos. So the Hanukkah candles that you use for Shabbos, they're not allowed to be using, you're not allowed to use the bad shmanim. Okay? Now, comes along Rava, Amar Rava, and he analyzes this, and he says, why is Rav Huna saying this? Why is it the case that you can't use these shmanim for Shabbos, the ones that you can't use for Shabbos that you can't use for Hanukkah? Why can't you use them for Hanukkah? So Amar Rava, my time is the Rav Huna, kasavar kapsa zakukla, umotar li shtamish lora. So this is a little bit complicated. There's two concepts going on over here, and it's complicated not because of the concepts, but how exactly they relate to Shabbos. So kapsa zakukla, right? In Aramaic, what's zakuk? I think it's a Hebrew also nowadays.
Nice.
Exactly, it requires, right? So kavsa zakukla. How would you translate that into English? Because it's not good enough to actually know what the words mean. You have to know what the concept is. So kavsa means...
Not from Kibur, I think that.
Yeah, it is. Kavsa means if the lights went out, zakukla, which means...
It won't relight itself? No.
Well, of course not.
No,
what it means is, do you need to relight it? So he says, Rav Huna believes kavsa zakukla, which means that if it goes out, hey Paul, come sit down. If it goes out, you must relight it. Okay, that's what it means. Kavsa zakukla. If it goes out, you must relight it. We'll get to why that's connected to the shmanim in a second. And the second concept is pretty clear, I think, and well known to all of us. Umuter lishtamish laora. It's familiar in terms of the concept, but not the halacha, right? It says that you are allowed to use the light. What does that mean? You're allowed to use the light.
On Shabbos, you know, you don't use the light. But wait.
No, let's just concentrate on Hanukkah for a second.
But you're not meant to get...
Right. The halacha, which we're going to see on the next Talmud, we're not allowed to use them. We're not allowed to use them for what? What does that mean, not allowed to use them? We're not allowed to light other things with them? What?
Use the light for heat, for lighting
other things, anything. So Rav Huna, according to Rava, believes that you are allowed to use the lights.
After you relight them?
From the time that they're light, you're allowed to sit there and read according to the lights of the Hanukkah candles. That's what Rav Huna believes, according to Rava. That's the explanation that Rava gives for Rav Huna's Shita. Now, what does that have to do with what shmanim you're allowed to use during the week or on Shabbos? What does it have to do with it?
Rashi.
So, yeah, Rashi will help us, but does anybody want to take a stab at it before we look at Rashi? What would the fact that you need to relight it if it goes out have to do with having to use a good shaman? What would have to do?
If it's chairman, it shouldn't extinguish itself. Has that got anything to do with it or not? It shouldn't become extinguished?
Well, it, a good chairman...
A good chairman shouldn't become extinguished.
Right, it will remain lit. Right?
And therefore...
That's the definition of a good chairman. Two definitions of a good chairman. Number one, that it gives good light. And number two, that it lasts, that it will work well. It will work well.
Okay. Just a good chairman lasts longer than
No, it doesn't. If you have a candle,
using a good shaman, a reliable source of
right. We don't know what kind of shaman they used to have. So why does that? Why does that matter in terms of kafsa zakukla? Let's say
because if you use a bad one,
yeah,
you're going to have to sit there around tinkering with it.
Are you likely to do that?
Yeah, you will.
Will you sit there tinkering with it? So the Chazal are concerned. This is what Rashi says. Rashi says. You have to use a nice shaman, or, you know, a priori, right? Because if you don't, then it could be that it will go out, and you won't relight it. Maybe you'll mess up, maybe you'll light it, and then you'll leave the house. Right? And then it goes out, and you're not there to put it out, or you'll go somewhere. You're not likely to sit there just, you know, putting it out, you know, relighting it all the time. So the Chazal were concerned, so this is you have to use a good light. Okay.
Can you learn at the other end that it's, if on Shabbat you're meant to use a good light, maybe for this principle that it is less likely to go out, and we want people to use a good light because then they won't come to want to fiddle with the light after Shabbat's come in, right?
Right.
So in the same way you want the Hanukkah stuff or the Hanukkah lights also to be... things that have good quality that won't go out the
way. Why does it matter? Explain again.
Oh,
excellent. So that could also be, right?
Rashi doesn't make sense. It makes sense for Hanukkah. What Rashi's saying makes sense for the Hanukkah lights.
For the weekday Hanukkah lights. And what about the week? What about the Shabbos Hanukkah lights?
Why? To do it anyway.
So isn't that a good reason to use good shaman?
I'll force you to use good
to make sure that it stays lit.
Reason to use good shaman, but the way Rashi is, what Rashi is explaining,
because you're concerned that you're going to put it out, right?
What Rashi is explaining is only regarding to the weekdays.
Good, excellent. So that's a very good interpretation of Rashi, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. So that's why we have the other line, right? Umutar lishtamish laora. That's why it's important that it says umutar lishtamish laora. That's why Rava says that must be what Rav Huna believes. What does mutar lishtamish laora have to do with the shemen that you use on Hanukkah? Or perhaps Hanukkah Shabbos. Somebody knocking
the door. It's Laura in the kitchen.
Oh, she's knocking on the kitchen door. All right. So the answer is that when you light your Shabbos candles, right? So we know what those are for. What are those for?
Light.
They're for light, right? But light for what? In general?
Light up the table.
I know it's for Shabbat, but you're allowed to use them, right? What do you use it for, though?
Oneg Shabbos.
Oneg Shabbos. So, forgive me an example of Oneg Shabbos that you can use light.
Reading.
Rashi says Tashmish here. So, okay, Tashmish does
for you.
Yeah. No, there is a difference because
no, let's.
Right.
No, I don't think he means that kind of Tashmish. He doesn't mean that kind
of Tashmish. You're recording.
Give me pause for a second. You gave me pause. I don't think he means that. It could have, but that would be backwards because that makes no sense because that's the opposite. But yes, you are allowed to use them for your life, right? So, for instance, the common answer is for eating, right? It's supposed to light up your table, right? Or to not run into things, right? But Yoel, are you supposed to use them for eating?
No,
the Gemara says you're not allowed to use them for reading. You're not supposed to sit by the light reading a book.
Right.
Gemara has one caveat. If children are learning because they don't want to learn, so it's better for them.
No, there's also they fear that you might move the candle.
That's the concern. The concern is that if you're reading with a light, with a candle, then you'll adjust the candle, make it more, make it less, move it, right? There was one Tana that did it. He thought that he could do it without, and he ended up actually doing it.
Right.
Well, he didn't think it was ridiculous. He just thought that since he knew the reason, there was Rabbi Shmuel, I think he knew the reason, so then he could do it, and just he would be careful not to touch, and he ended up coming very very close to touching. Either way, that's the reason. You're not really supposed to use the Shabbos candle for reading, right? So what about if you ended up lighting Hanukkah candles on Erev Shabbos, right, with not such good light? But you're allowed to use them, then you may also go to the Hanukkah candles and read according to them. So, by the way, that's the reason you're supposed to use nice shemen for Shabbos, so that you don't end up doing this. Right? So that's why, according to Rav Huna, you would end up having to use nice Chanukah shemen, as Rael said, on Erev Shabbos, not for the concern that it'll go out, because you can't light it again anyways, but for the concern that you may end up playing with it, because you could use it. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now, Tosos is concerned with Rael's question, except Tosos thought differently from Rael. Tosos says, I don't even understand why we need the Mutar Lishtamesh La'ora. All you need is the Kafsak Zakakla, because as we said before, right, what's the idea of Kafsak Zakakla? If it goes out, you need to relight it. So on Shabbos, if it goes out, you're not going to be able to relight it, so you should have to use nice shemen on Erev Shabbos, because if it goes out, you're messed. There's nothing you could do. Right? So Rael, what was your response to that? You said, well, there's no concern, because you can't do anything about it anyways, right? But that's only a good reason why you should have to use nice shemen, right? So why do we need the mutar lishtamish la'ora? That's Tosfos' question. If you look on the bottom left, v'im tamer minale l'rava desavar avuna demutar lishtamish la'ora, til mahad amar ein malikin b'shabes mishum desavar kafsa zakukla. Why does Rava have to say that Rav Huna believes that mutar lishtamish la'ora? That's unnecessary. All we need to know is kafsa zakukla, because that will tell you v'ein yochel l'hadik b'shabes, because you can't relight it on Shabbos. V'yesh lomar, he gives the answer. Deim kein, lo havet sarich le lemeimar, bein b'chol, bein b'shabes, kevin d'chad taimahu. Ela hava le lemeimar, in manlikin stam. No, because if that was the reason, he wouldn't have to say Shabbos. It would be all the same. Must be there's a different reason for Shabbos. Okay. Tosfos is giving a textual answer. He says, because if all Rav Huna meant was kafsa zakukla, then he would have said, you have to use good shemen. It must be that there's a different reason for chol than there is for Shabbos. Okay. That's one answer. Does he give the other answer? I know that there is another answer, which I'll just say out loud so we don't have to read the whole Tosos. The other answer is that perhaps there is no kafsa zakukla on Shabbos. Because how could there be? Right? Perhaps kafsa zakukla, the idea that if it goes out, you have to relight it, maybe that only applies during the week, but it can't apply on Shabbos. Because that's impossible. You can't light a candle on Shabbos. So perhaps that requirement, even according to Rav Huna, only applies during the week, but it doesn't apply on Shabbos. That's possible. In which case, you need the other reason. You need the Mutar Lishtamesh La'ora. Now that's all well and good. It's Rav Huna. We know it's not going to be true l'halacha. In fact, neither of those things are going to be true l'halacha, but it will help us later on. So the Gemara continues, and it says, Rav Chista Amar, Ma'likin Ben B'chol, Aval Lo B'Shabbos. Okay, now we're familiar with the concepts. This is a second opinion. The second opinion is Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that you must use good shemen for the week, but not for Shabbos. Comes along, so the Gemara explains Rav Chista and says that he must differ with Rav Huna, and he believes kavsa ein zakukla, but mutar lishtamish la'ora. In other words, the rationale for the week, namely that kafsa ein zakukla, that you don't have to relight it. That's why you're allowed to use bad shemen during the week. That's what I meant to say. You're allowed to use bad shemen during the week. You're not allowed to use bad shemen for Shabbos, and for this reason, because during the week you don't have to relight kafsa ein zakukla. Therefore, even if it goes out, that's fine. We're not worried about that. What about Shabbos? So he says, the reason why you have to use good shemen for Shabbos is because still, mutar lishtamish la'ora. No, mutar lishtamish la'ora. It doesn't have to last. Kafsa ein zakukla, even during the week. So surely not on Shabbos, right? Definitely not on Shabbos. But on Shabbos, you still have to worry about the person accidentally playing with the candlelights because he's allowed to use them. That's the second opinion. Now we finally get to the third opinion. The third opinion is Amar Bezeira, Amar of Masna, Vamila, Amar Bezeira, Amar Rav, Psilos of Shmanim Shamru Chachamim, Ein Madlikim Behan B'Shabbos, Madlikim Behan B'Chanukah, Behan B'Chol, Behan B'Shabbos. The ones that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you are allowed to use for Chanukah. Doesn't matter on a Sunday, it doesn't matter on a Friday afternoon, you're allowed to use them all week. You don't have to worry about the type of shaman that you use for Chanukah, at least out these problems. Right? And of course, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, my time at the Rav, Kasavar, Kavsa, and Zakukla, Vasu, Lishtamish, La'ora. Against both of the premises that we had before. Neither halacha was true. Kavsa, and Zakukla, if it goes out, you don't have to relight it. And number two, it's Asur, Lishtamish, La'ora. So that means that you don't have to worry about relighting it during the week, so you can use whatever shaman you want. You don't have to worry about a person accidentally using the Hanukkah candles on Shabbos. So you don't have to worry. So you don't have to use fancy shemen for Hanukkah on Erev Shabbos either. Okay? So he thinks, Aser lishtamish la'orah. Amru ha-rabbanan kameh de-ra'eh, mishmeh de-rabi yomya, v'lo kibla. Interesting thing. The rabbis cited this ruling in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, meaning Rabbi Zeira's ruling in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Somebody told it to Abaye, and Abaye didn't buy it. He didn't believe that Rabbi Zeira had ever said it, because he didn't trust Rabbi Yirmiyah, or he didn't trust the people that quoted Rabbi Yirmiyah. He just didn't buy it. Ki asa Rabbanan amru Rabbanan kameh. That's what I just read. Mishmei de Rav Yochanan v'kibla. Then they told him again in the name of Rav Yochanan, and he accepted it. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean he believes Rav Yochanan, he doesn't believe Rav Yirmiyah? It's possible.
Well, does it mean that one wouldn't have said it?
No, they're all saying that Rabbi Zeira says this. They're all saying that Rabbi Zeira says it. But it's just a matter of whether he believes that there's the halacha. So he didn't believe Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now he believed when they said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. It's not clear to me if he believed it because Rabbi Yochanan had said it or because it was the second testimony that he had heard,
right,
or something like that. But either way, he ended up believing it. So they say, so he said, Amar Izakai, Gemirta Lishmasa Meikara. If I would have been better when I was younger, meaning if I would have been Zocha when I was younger, I would have learned this when I was younger, and then I would have, you know, it would have helped me with all of my learning until now. Meaning I would have had this principle when I was younger, and that would have been good for me. But the Gemara says, Vahagamra, but what's the problem? You learned it now. So you learned it now, so what's the problem? Why do you have to lament about the fact that you didn't learn it when you were younger? Nafkamina, the Girsa Diyan Kusa. No, the Nafkamina is that when you learn something when you're younger, you remember it, understand it much better, and it gets deep into like the bloodstream, right? Everything that we know that the things that we learn when we're children, for good and for bad, color our worldview for the rest of our lives, frankly, until we, you know, it gets upended. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know, most of the things that we learned when we were younger, we keep. It would have changed. Can you imagine? Abaye did not have this when he was younger. He says, if I would have had this...
What's he referring to? Which principle? The principle.
Kav Sein Zakukla and Asali Shtamish Ta'ora. Now, how did he treat the Hanukkah candles? I have no idea. Meaning when he was younger, did they use them for reading? It could be that they did, which, you know, there were opinions that said that was okay. Now it's not. But what he's saying is that this would have enriched his learning if he had learned it when he was much, much younger. Which is interesting. Okay. Now we bring up a problem. Uriminhu. What kind of question is Uriminhu? You remember? What kind of question is Uriminhu?
Issues with
time? No, not necessarily. We'll go over this again. There are four kinds of questions. It's good. The reason why I repeat it over and over is because these are keywords. And it's not just like fancy schmancy keywords. What it is, yeah, if you would learn it in the Girsa
D'Akusa.
It's, by the way, I'll tell you exactly when I found this out. I know exactly where I was and when. I don't know. I can tell you what year it was.
It was when you heard it.
So I heard it in the year 2000 when I was about 18, when a Rebbe from the yeshiva that I went to, Reshit, when he came to recruit, and I knew I was going to Reshit anyway, so he didn't really recruit me, but he gave a shiur. I don't know if it was a shiur or a talk. And he said, you know, we teach things that, you know, give you tools. So that we're not just forcing you to sit down in front of a Gemara and just pound it out. You'll have tools. You see, there are key words. He said, for example, here are some key words that even rabbis don't know. You go into almost any yeshiva in the world, probably 75% of the people in the room don't know what the difference is between the four types of questions, right? There's metive, uriminhu, matkif, and ibailahu. There may be other types of questions, but we'll leave them aside for right now because these are the primary ones. Metive is the hardest question because metive is a question from a higher source, all right? If the question is on an amora, then it's a question from a mishnah. If it's a question on a mishnah, it's a question from a pasuk in the Torah, right? That's a metive. Those are defeating questions, such that if you can't answer the question, you lose, and the Gemara says tiyufta. That tiyufta, that means we reject this position because it's contradicted by a higher source. That's meitive. Uruminhu is a contradiction between equal sources, between two Gemaras, between two Mishnayot, between two Braitot, even between two Pesukim. They bring contradiction between two Pesukim. They have to answer it up. Now, when you have an Uriminhu, it's okay if you don't have an answer because Seder, you'll say, maybe it's a machlokas. Maybe it's a machlokas between these two positions. It's hard when you have psukim, so usually they have answers to those. But nobody loses. You can't lose. You just want to answer the question. Then you have something called a matkif. Matkif is a logic question. They're not going to cite any psukim. They're not going to cite any mishnah. They're just going to say, that makes no sense because of the following. Right? You want to answer those questions, but if you don't, you're not always going to lose. And then finally, you have ibayilahu. Ibayilahu is an information-getting question. Nobody's going to lose. It's just, we have a rule, and we want to know, what about this? What if that? Okay, so here we have uruminu. Again, uruminu is
same
equal power. So here he says, uruminu, mitzvasa mishatishka hachama shetecharegel minashuk. My love, the ikavsa hadar madlik la. So wait a second. We have another source. This is a Mishnah in Masachet Sofrim. It's not really a Mishnah, because Masachet Sofrim is very late, actually. This is an interesting case, because this could be an interpolation in the Gemara. It could be that this was not in front of Ravina Rav Ashi. Because according to Masachet Sofrim, which, as far as I know, is much, much later. So it's hard to say that this was actually in the original. But either way, they say that, and you're going to have to try to tell me, what's the contradiction here? It says, Mishatishka hachama ad shetecharegel min ashuk. The mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah is from the time of Shkiyas Achama until the Tamudaim. Is that what it says over here? Or is that just in Rashi? Anyways, it's only Rashi. The people who sell, actually, wood and shemen in the market until the time when they leave. In other words, when it's nighttime. From sunset to basically to some form of nightfall when people leave. That's the time for lighting the candle.
The sellers of the wood and the oil. Why not anyone?
It happens to be the regular Tamudai. Rashi says, "Shem uma malakte etzim dakim umitakvin bashuk ad shalchim bnei ashuk lebatem ishachashicha umavirim bebatem." Or because they sell the wood at the end of the day, so people can buy the wood and go home and start a fire in their house. That's what they do. Either way, it's not really relevant who they are. The point is that they're the last ones to leave the shuk. They're the last ones to leave. Now, what's the contradiction here?
Candle is supposed to light until it's supposed to be lit.
Right.
Until Tichberigel. Good. If it goes out.
Good. Excellent. Perfecto. So the implication is that if it goes out, it should be relit. Because if it has to be lit that whole time, so it should be kafsa zakukla. So how can the halacha be kafsa ain zakukla? That's the contradiction.
The light. Did it say it has to remain light for the whole period?
It doesn't have to last until.
So this question doesn't last very long. The question doesn't last very long. The Gemara gives two answers. Two possible answers. One answer is, lo di lo adlik madlik v'inami lishiura. One answer is, that all it means is that that's the time in which to light. In other words, you have to light at some point in those approximately 30 minutes, according to the Rishonim. You have to light at some point in those 30 minutes. It doesn't say anything about how long it has to light. It doesn't say anything about how much oil you have to have. That's the first answer. You have to light in those 30 minutes because that's when people are around and it's when it's night. You need to light at night and you need to light when people will see it. So that's the time to light. I'm giving my own... That's the explanation over here. The Gemara doesn't say that, but that's the explanation. The alternative answer is inami lishi'ure, which means that that's how much shemen you need to put in. In other words, it doesn't have to be lit for that long, but it has to have the potential to be lit for that long. Because otherwise it's not good. Now, what's interesting is that...
Otherwise, if it goes off, it doesn't matter.
Right. If it happens to go out, it's not a problem. Now, that doesn't mean you can do whatever you want, right? When you get to Psak, right, you're not allowed to light in an area where it will immediately go out. Because that's effectively, you don't have the shear, right? Even, no matter how much oil you have in the wick, if it will go out because of the wind immediately, and that's natural, then that's not good. But the point is that if it happens to go out accidentally, you don't have to relight it. That's what kafsa in zakukla means. It means that if it unnaturally goes out, then you don't have to relight it. That's all. But it has to have enough to be lit for that entire amount of time. Now, these are two different answers, and they're probably exclusive, which means one or the other is true, and then the other is not true. Which means either we have to light at a certain time in that window.
Why is it that?
And then we don't need to worry about how long is it for. Or we have to wonder about how long it's lit for, but it doesn't really matter when we light. That seems logical, right? They're two exclusive answers.
No, they're independent.
They're not necessarily. I agree with you. They could both be true, but they don't have to both be true.
No.
They don't have to both be true. No. You could have one or you could have the other.
Or both.
Or both. Yeah, one of them has to be true according to our version of the halakha. If you look at Tosfos, though, if you look at Tosfos, he points out that they're exclusive. In that first Tosfos on this side, de'i lo adlik madlik, ava mikan ve'elach avra hazman. He says if you light now, you're good, but after that period of time, you can't light anymore. Omar Riparat, de'yesh li'zar ve'lahadlik ba'layla miyad shelo ya'acher yoter midai. So Riparat says that you have to light really, really early. But he says, nevertheless, if you miss the time, you should light misafik, because there is another ruling. In other words, he says, it's true that they're exclusive, but, as Rel said, they could both be true. So you should light misafik. Now, if you're lighting misafik, if I stopped over here, do you think you should make a bracha on that lighting? You would think so, right? It would seem that if you miss one of these shitas, you shouldn't make a bracha. That's what it sounds like he's saying. If you're lighting misafa, you shouldn't make a bracha. So if you miss the window, right, you get home late. Let's say, let's not talk about nowadays. 2,000 years ago, you got home late. It was already nighttime. Isn't it? You should light without a bracha, it would seem.
On the same, on the other side, if you're lighting at the right time, but have smaller amounts of oil, so it's not going to last
the duration. That's a good question. So should you also not make a bracha in that case? Let's say you don't have enough.
Right.
Right? You don't have enough oil. It would seem also that you wouldn't make a bracha.
For example,
it sounds like we'd be trying to get both.
Which, like the Hanukkah, whatever.
Right.
Like now, if you did a quarter-sized candle, you know it's not going to last. Would you be saying a bracha on it? Probably wouldn't.
That's a good question. But nowadays, almost for sure not. You have to have some kind of shear. And that, if you look though.
If you lit a small candle for Shabbos,
the smaller one. Shabbos, it's also a problem. The Shabbos candles are supposed to go into Shabbos, it's supposed to give you at least some hana from it. So if you look at the end of the Tosfos though, he says, Uluri nira da ata, nowadays, ein lachush matayad likta, anu ein lanu hakera el livnea, bayit sharman likim bifnim. Right? We could open up this Tosfos for the rest of the night, for the rest of the week, really. But what he's saying is that nowadays, we light indoors. This is Tosfos, right? In France or Germany. We don't know which. This is the Ri. So, France. They lit indoors, like we do in Chutz La'aretz, and like many of us do here in Eretz Yisrael. They lit indoors. Once you're lighting indoors, really, it's no longer for the people outdoors, even though we light in the windows, it's no longer for the people outdoors, it's for the people inside the house. In which case, as long as people are up, you can light candles. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah cites an opinion that if people are not up, you should wake them up. And have them look at the candles that you're lighting now. I wouldn't recommend
Someone's
it.
Gonna be
I wouldn't recommend it. Could be that you're, yeah, it could be that you're good enough. Wouldn't recommend it, but he says that you should. So he says, definitely, that position, in other words, that halakha, the idea that you only have until that small window of opportunity, is out the window. No pun intended. That you don't have to worry about the time when you're lighting anymore. What about the shear? How long is the shear? So that's a little bit, that could actually work the opposite way. If the shear is now basically all night, because however long people are up, they can see it. And it would get bigger. So you have opinions that say that, like, if you're in Bnei Brak, right, and you're lighting your candles in your window, and it's also for the people outside, in Bnei Brak, the people are up until, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, if you've ever been there,
sure.
You have to light the whole time, right? Don't know how many people actually follow that. I think the standard psak is for 30 minutes, which is the shear that the Rishonim give for this time period that was given in the Gemara, right? That's the amount of time for 30 minutes. That's what people usually do. But the more the merrier, the better, you know, the more time that you can do it, the better. With these new, you know, with the easy lights, with the prepared, you give about 2.5 hours, depending on the night. Once it gets to the eighth night, they have less because so much heat that it burns faster. Mine do.
So.
Yeah. If with candles, for sure. Candles, you get like 5 minutes on the eighth night. Especially if you put it in a box, like I do. You have to, like, you can watch them melt down.
Yeah, I can. By the time you get to the last one, the person.
Yeah.
Some of those kids' ones, they just one goo.
Okay, let's keep going in the Gemara, because we'll get back to the sheet soon. So Tana Rabbana, this is Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish U'Beiso. The Mitzvah of Chanukah is for each person in his house. V'hamahadrin, meaning you need one candle per house Period. One candle per house, period. All you need. Per night. Meaning each night, one candle. That's all you need. V'hamahadrin, ner l'kol echad ve'echad. The Mahadrin, though, they have one candle for each person in each house per night. And then, Hamahadrin mina Mahadrin, Beishami omrim yom rishon madlik shmona, mikan ve'elech pochis v'holech, pitil omrim yom rishon madlik achas, mikan ve'elech mosif v'holech. There's a famous machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, you light eight on the first night and you go down to one, and according to Beis Hillel, you light one on the first night and you go up to eight. How many people are lighting?
How many people are lighting?
Machlokes, we'll get there. Amar Ula, Pligi Batrei Amorai B'Ma'arava, Rav Yosi Bar Avin, Rav Yosi Bar Zvida, Chada Martayim de Beis Shammai Keneged Yomim Nechnasim. The Gemara here is wondering about what's the reason. Why does Beis Shammai say you go down and Beis Hillel say you go up? So we start with Beis Shammai. Chada Martayim de Beis Shammai Keneged Yomim Nechnasim. Vatayim de Beis Hillel Keneged Yomim HaYotzim. Beis Shammai says this is the eighth day that we are, you know, we start with the eighth day and then we go down for each one. I actually have no idea why, what it means when it says Yomim HaYotzim, Yomim HaNechnasim, actually. Every year I have to stare at the Gemara to figure out, like, what does it mean?
I mean, the Shabbos is counting the days
they go out, so why does that mean you go down?
In the base of Mikdash, it started with a full kad,
yeah. And
each day it went downwards.
Oh, that's what you mean?
I think so. So it's like each day that goes past is another day less of it. I don't know. Think about what happened when they found a little kad of oil. It was one kad that every day went down. In the quantity. It lasted...
Well, actually, Rashi says, Beis Shammai Keneged Yomim HaNechnasim, meaning the days that are going to come in. So in other words, the first night you light, there are 8 days of Hanukkah. The second night you light, you say, there are now 7 days of Hanukkah. The third night you light, there are now 6 days of Hanukkah. That's what he means. As opposed to Beis Hillel, who says, Neged Yom Yotzin, this is the first day of Hanukkah, this is the second day of Hanukkah, this is the third day of Hanukkah. Okay. Why would they have to count like that? This is a good question. We're not going to deal with it tonight. The Chadamar, so that's one explanation.
As opposed to what otherwise?
Well, I mean, like I don't know, but what is it? What are they arguing about? Why is he so sure that he's right and he's sure he is? What's the meaning of each one? Meaning, why can't they all just pick one and just do it? Why do they have to argue about this? Come on. Say it, but... So here, I can understand what they're talking about. Beis Shammai says that we want to imitate the Pari HaChag. What are the Pari HaChag? Sukkos, right? The Korbanos that we do on Sukkos. We start with 13 and we get down to 7. I think that's right. Yeah. We go to start with 13 and we get down to 7. So we go down. So we want to do the same thing as we do on Sukkos. 14? We start with 14, we go down to 7. We do the same thing we do with Sukkos. Why do we want to do the same thing on Hanukkah that we do on Sukkos? There are a lot of historical parallels, actually, between Hanukkah and Sukkos.
It was supposed to be Sukkot or something.
That's one of them. And Josephus says it was the same time. So either way, that's what he wants to do. But Beis Hillel thinks it's a greater value to say Malim Bakodesh Vein Maritim. So you want to go up and not go down. You don't want to go down from 8 candles to 1 candle. That's not nice. Okay. Amar Abba Rabbi Chana Amar Yochanan Shnei Zakenim Hayu B'tzidan. There were 2 Zakenim B'tzidan. Echad Asaka Beis Shammai Ve'echad Asaka Divrei Beis Hillel. Zenos in Tam L'dvarav Keneged Parei Chag. Zenos in Tam L'dvarav Demalim Kodesh Vein Maritim. Okay, interesting. Now what's so fascinating about this? Because I find it actually fascinating. There were 2.
Who cares about these 2 old guys?
I actually care about them very much because. What the heck? You're not allowed to do Beis Shammai. The Gemara is all over Shas. You're not supposed to do what Beis Shammai says. The position is Beis Hillel. The Gemara Bracha has very harsh things to say about people who follow Beis Shammai after the Tekufa of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Very harsh things. How could they do this? How could they just follow Beis Shammai? Can you do that? Can I do that? Can I just say, you know what? I'm going to go from 8 to 1 because it speaks to me. How could they do this? So the Bir Halacha, it's the Chafetz Chaim's other section in the Mishnah Berurah, so he points out that it's true that the Halacha is always like Beis Hillel, but this is not Halacha. This is Mahadrin. This is a Hiddur Mitzvah. This is a different level. It may be that the rule of Halacha ke Beis Hillel doesn't apply to Mahadrin. Nobody's saying that doing Beis Shammai is not a valid way of doing Hanukkah candles because all you need to do Hanukkah candles is light one light.
There must be other cases where they argue on a Hiddur Mitzvah, like a Sukkah.
Maybe.
Like a...
Maybe. Maybe, I'm not sure.
And we could paskin like Beis Shammai.
So in the end, the Bir Halacha says, it could be that even we could do Beis Shammai, but I don't recommend it. He says, but you should not. But he says, but in theory, you could, because there's nothing wrong with it, because you're still fulfilling the mitzvah, according to all opinions, even according to Beis Hillel. But he says, but you still shouldn't do it. I think nowadays, probably minhag is pretty strong. Fine, and the last thing we do is...
Do you know who these old guys were? Is there any, like...
Is it Canaan, Bitsidan? I don't know. Names, you mean?
What was Hillel?
No, I don't know. Tanu Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'anichah Pesach Beis. Okay. The mitzvah is to put it on the entrance to the doorway, mi bachutz. Right, on the outside doorway. And if you live in an apartment, they meant their apartments were like, you know, one story, two stories. Then you put it in the window that faces the Rosh Hashanah. So even in the Gemara's time, they had that when it's dangerous to show your Hanukkah candles outside, meaning when non-Jews will see it and they'll do something to you, so then you put it on your table and that's it. And then people in your house will look at it.
That's what Chabad then you do it on your car.
On your car, yeah. Amar Rava, Tzarich Nera Cheres Lishtamish La'ora. Oh, this is getting back probably to the Isser to use the light. You have to have a shamish. There's an extra light there, so that if you do use the light, then you're using the shamish. The ikamadu, or that's one explanation for this. What's the other explanation for this? That it's nice. That as we're going to see, the ikamadura lo tzarech, the adam chashuv avagav the ikamadura tzarech ne'acheres. If you have these lights, right? What if you have these lights in the room? So do you still need a shamish? You shouldn't, right? You don't, unless you're an Adam Chashev, and then you should put another light because it's just for it to look nicer. So that's another explanation. Okay, so that's that. Let's do one last thing, which is the story.
So what's the reasoning for why you're doing this shamash if you have another light?
So Rashi says, because an Adam Chashev, actually Rashi gives a different answer, he says, so actually, Rashi's explanation is that you're probably not going to use the Madurah, because the Madurah is a torch, right? So it's not nice for the people, person who's like, you know, a prince or something, to stand by the lights. Actually, I guess it wouldn't apply to this, because we do use this. So yeah, in theory, we don't need a shamish at all today. Today, you don't even need a shamish. The other reason for shamish is to light the other ones, right? But nowadays, also... the people with the ready-made ones usually use a candle to do it, and then you don't do anything with the candle, you just put it out. Mm. So yeah, you don't need a shamash at all.
But if you're lighting you're lighting an extra candle.
Yeah, but it's always set aside.
If you do it first, after you made the brocha, then that's your first candle.
Well, no, you did
before. I usually light it first. You can do either way.
Like, there's a whole, I think we're all kind of like conditioned to, as a kavana thing, because your kavana is to light the other candles, not to use this candle as one of your candles to light.
Right.
And
you shouldn't probably say the brocha after this.
I usually light it before I make
it. No, I light it before.
You're holding the candle.
But it doesn't really matter. Then you make it. Yeah, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, you lit the candles you're supposed to light, and for people seeing outside, they didn't see you light the candles, so it doesn't matter. Right? Even the order, like we said before, right? It's not only the one for eight, also there's lighting from left to right as opposed to right to left. That's not going to passel your lighting because ultimately... First of all, the moment you lit a single candle, you're a yotzei. And the people outside, they don't see how you lit. Okay. Let's just do the story for the sake of the story. My time, my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? What is it? The Tanu Rabbanan b'kafei b'kislev. This is the one thing I was looking this over at work, and one of the guys at work said to me, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just looking this over. I'm taking a break. I'm looking this over. I'm giving a shiur tonight." He said, "Oh, what are you giving a shiur on?" I said, "Chanukah." Chiloni guy doesn't know anything. I say, "I'll teach you something really quick. Do you know what day of Hanukkah is?" He says, "No." I said, "Well, it's in Kislev." He said, "That I know." I said, "It's Cafe Kislev." He said, "Okay, Cafe Kislev." I was like, "No, I'll give you an easy way to remember. Chanu Cafe. Chanu B'Cafe. They set up the Beit HaMikdash on Cafe Kislev." He said, "Okay, good." 5 minutes later, I asked him, "Do you know?" He said, "Chanu Cafe. Chanukah. Chanukah. Good. All right." May Chanukah. The Tanu Rabbanan Bekafe Bekislev Yomei De Chanukah Timnaya Inun De Lo Mispepar. So first of all, the Gemara just starts by saying that it happens on Kafe Kislev, and you don't give Hespedim. Which means the question that the Gemara was originally asking of May Chanukah wasn't really a question, can you tell me the story of Chanukah? It was really a question of what happens on Chanukah, like what's special about Chanukah. So the answer is we don't do Hespedim on those days, and we don't fast. De Lo Lis Hanusbam. Shekshenichnesu Yevanim lehechal timu kol hashmanim shebehechal ukshagavra malchus beis chashmonai benitzchum bidku v'lo matzu al hapach echad shal shemen shayamunach bechotamo shal kohen gadol v'lo hayabo ela lahadik yom echad nase bo neis v'hidliku mimenu shmoni yamim l'shmoni yamim. I don't have to translate any of that. You all know what it means. It's the story of Chanukah. L'shana acheres, the next year, or a different year rather, Kiva'um va'asa'um yamim tovim b'halal b'hodah. Look in the Rambam, and he has a commentary on this. At what point did they start actually commemorating it with the holiday of Chanukah as we know it? In other words, in what year did Yankala start lighting a menorah in his house?
Following year.
Not necessarily.
It was a war of, 10 years or something like that?
Well, I presume that they began to do something in the Beit HaMikdash at least, probably even the following year. But Chanukah, as we celebrate it, which is to light candles in our own homes, right? Which, let's imagine it was the year after the Chanukah miracle.
Okay.
And the rabbis wanted to do something to commemorate Chanukah. Do you think they would tell people to light Chanukah candles in their house?
No.
Why?
No,
we have Chanukah.
Chanukah.
So that's what we do. But why would they tell people to light a Chanukiah in their house? Why? It's meaningless. They have a Chanukah, they have a menorah. The Beit HaMikdash. Why? Maybe they did a party, but why would they tell people to
light Chanukah at the bite? Like it's a matter of bringing like another regal.
But my point is that they would never tell people to do it in their house that year or the year afterwards, or probably even so long as there was a Beit HaMikdash. It would be strange.
Okay.
It was only afterwards, probably, that they began to actually do it.
Right, but it just says halal v'hodah.
Right, and it could be, and that's, I think, how the Rambam reads this. The Rambam says the only thing they did afterwards, right, was a party. They would have halal and they would have hodah. They would commemorate them. It's like Yom HaTzmaut they would do, it's Yom HaTzmaut.
For the barbecue.
Right. Exactly. It says Asa'um Yom Tovim. That means barbecue. Really? Okay, we'll stop there. There's a lot more, obviously.
When did they actually start? Is there any definitive?
The Rambam doesn't give an exact. I don't remember exactly. I don't think he gives an exact year.
I mean, it's maybe when they felt people were just going to start losing it and they wanted to commemorate. Or alternatively, people went enough to the Beit Mikdash and thought this
was. I'm guessing when the Beit Mikdash was destroyed, even. I don't know. Okay. Okay, it's 9:25. So let's go to the sheets. There's two sugyas that I wanted to take a closer look at. One is Isser Lishtamish La'ora, and we're going to follow this through all the way to Halacha La'maisa. And the other is going to be the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim, which also is Halacha La'maisa in terms of figuring out why we do what we do, but nobody's going to change what they do in terms of that. But the Isser Lishtamish La'ora is very interesting, Halacha La'maisa. So we saw that we follow Rabbi Zeira, right, who says that Asur Lishtamish La'ora. And not like Rav Huna or Rav Chista. So the Gemara on the next daf, which we don't have here, if you turn to the short sheets that I have, this quotes a different Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav, Asur lahartzot ma'ot k'negen ner Chanukah. Right? This is what you guys were saying before. You're not allowed to count money to the light of the Chanukah candles. That's a usage of the Chanukah candles. Kamrisa kamei d'shmuel, Amar li, v'chi ner kedushi yesh ba. So Shmuel actually said, what? Why not? What is? Are the neros Chanukah kadosh? As though you can't use them for anything. Maski falav Yosef chidam kedusha yeshbo detanya v'shafach v'chisa v'mesha shafach ichasa shali chasenu beregel shali yamitzus b'zuyas alatna. Dam is the same thing. You're not supposed to use it. And the reason is so that you're not supposed to use mitzvah stuff in a bazui manner. You're not supposed to use it for counting your money. It's not the proper usage of your Chanukah candles. Hachaname shalo yu mitzvah b'zuyas alav. Also, yeah, you're not supposed to use the Chanukah candles for a non-mitzvah usage, let's say. Okay. Now, what would you gather from this Gemara in terms of the parameters of not using the Hanukkah candles. What might be the reason that you're not allowed to use the Hanukkah candles? And what might be the parameters? So you're saying you could use it for a mitzvah. What, based on what? Well, first, ask my first question. What's the reason why you're not supposed to use the Hanukkah candles? Bizayin mitzvah.
So if you wanted to read your Gemara next to the
Lechora, should be fine. Okay, that's reasonable. What? Right, not on Shabbos. So let's take a look at the Baal HaMor. Now, the Baal HaMor, as a rule, is an extremely hard Rishon to read. Very hard. Both because it's printed really small, but also it's hard when you read it. This one's not hard. So let's read it together. Laman da'amar, asur lishtamish l'or shana chanukah, kol tashmish b'mashma. The position that we read before of Rabbi Zeira, he said you're not allowed to use the Hanukkah candles. That sounds like any usage at all. Afilu tashmish b'mitzvah v'tashmish kedusha, even for mitzvah or kedusha. Kedusha could be something else, right? Could be even reading from the Torah, maybe. Mishum dekasavar, kevan shehem zecher l'neiros l'shemen shel heichal, asurus hen b'hana'a shel ikar. The reason for that you wouldn't be allowed to use it even for Kedusha or for Mitzvah, would be because in the end of the day, they're supposed to be Zecher LeNeiros. And the Neiros of the Heichal, right, that's Kadosh. Those are Kadosh. You're not allowed to use it for anything. There's an Isser Hana'ah there. Even if you're going to, you can't use something that's Aser B'Hana'ah even for a Mitzvah, even for a Kadosh reason. You can't use it for anything. So you wouldn't be allowed to use it for anything. But he claims that's a different position. The position that we find in Chaf Beis Amud Aleph that we didn't see in our Gemara, but we saw, but it's in the next daf. That's a different position. The Gemara is clear about that. The reason over there is given because of Bizayon the Mitzvah. Aval tashmish mitzvah tashmish kedusha. You should be allowed to use it for anything that's a mitzvah or a kadosh. Ushmuel de metama alav chiner kedusha yesh bo lo sevir ledeis beisrach kedusha v'lo mishum eser hana b'mishtamish la'ora v'lo havakai gavna b'izur mitzvah. Shmuel doesn't even think there's any problem. Shmuel is almost hearkening back to Rav Huna and Rav Chista. He says that there's no problem at all. V'lo midam alav kisir adam b'regel kedam alav Yosef. He thinks, maybe he doesn't hold all the way like Rav Chista or Rav Huna, he thinks the only thing you're not allowed to use is the ner itself. You're not allowed to, let's say, light another candle from this candle. That's as far as he's able to go. Now, so what's the halacha? Basically, you have three positions here. So what's the halacha? So he says, he says the halacha is you're only worried about bizui mitzvah. Afilu lishtamish l'or ledivar shus kigon hartzas maos, aval kedusha ein ba umoto lishtamish l'or tashmish al mitzvah. He says the only thing you're really worried about is bizayon of the mitzvah. So you're not allowed to use it for counting your money or for reading the newspaper, but for reading a gemara or for any other mitzvah purpose, you are allowed to use it according to the Baal HaMor. That's his position. You could sit in front of the candles, reading a gemara. Let's read the next position, the Ran. This is the Ran on the Rif. He says, Pirish.
So what does he do with Rav Huna, who seems to imply that it's...
He thinks that's not... you mean Rav Zeira.
Rav Zeira.
Right. He thinks that this latter position on Kaf Beis Amud Aleph is the normative position.
Okay.
Exactly. Meaning, he claims that Rav Zeira is seeing the Neros as Zecher Lenes, and therefore it carries with it all of the rules of the Neis. It's Aser B'Hada. But whoever is being cited in Achav Beis Amud Aleph, which Rav Yosef is following, that's the halacha.
Okay.
It's incorrect. The Ran doesn't read it that way. Pirush kol tashmishin v'afilu tashmish mitzvah dekeven shal yedei neis shenasa menorah tiknua asa'ua kamenorah. This is basically that first position that the Baal HaMor mentioned, which is that we are recreating the menorah, and since we're recreating the menorah, you can't use it for anything, just like you couldn't use the light of the menorah for anything at all. Shem b'shtam shem b'klal. Says, if you could use it for a mitzvah, right? Then what's going to happen if you're using it on Shabbos for your Seudah Shabbos? you're going to mess with it because there's no requirement to use good shemen. That's how we started the whole thing, right? The reason we have a requirement to use good shemen for Shabbos candles because you're allowed to use it for your Suda Shabbos. So they don't want you to mess with it, so you have to use the good candles. But the Hanukkah candles, we said, you don't have to. And even Rabbi Zeira says you don't have to. And he says, Rabbi Zeira says you don't have to, and because you're not allowed to use it. So you're not even allowed to use it for your Suda Shabbos. What about this Gemara that I said on the top? Aser l'har tzos mots k'negin Hanukkah. Lav l'mimer the dafke tashmish d'rishus. Aser. No. Not like Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor says, oh, that's a different shita. He says, no. It's not a different shita. It's not saying dafka rishus. Aval tashmish the mitzvah shari. Elomer dafilu ritzo imoj or tashmish kal aser. No. The only thing that the Gemara is pointing out is that even counting your money, which seems like not really using the candles, you're just kind of like, you look at it and then that's it. Not really using, it's not a serious usage of the candles, even that's usher. The Baal HaMor looked at that Gemara and he says, no, look, it's saying that the only thing you're not allowed to do is use it for a reshus, is use it for a non-mitzvah purpose. And that means that you're allowed to use it for a mitzvah purpose. And the Ran looked at the same Gemara and he says, no, that's not what it means. All it's telling you is that even a small usage is usher. It's a chumrah. Baal HaMor almost sees it as a kula. He says, no, it's a chumrah.
So there's no machlokas between Rav Zeira and this.
Yeah, according to the Ran, right. Yeah. Okay. He says, v'hachi muchach b'Yerushalmi, that's what the Yerushalmi says, and that's what the Rambam says, k'shelo k'divrei haraz halevi, that's the Baal HaMor, Rav Zrachi halevi. So he's disagreeing with Rav Zrachi halevi with the Baal HaMor. Okay. Now, that's the Ran and the Baal HaMor. There is one other position, which is that of Rashi, which we didn't look at. Right? What did Rashi say the reason for the Isser is? I believe it's our Rashi, but I could be wrong. Yeah, it is our Rashi. V'asoli shtamish la'ora, what does Rashi say? Shehei, it's on the second daf. Shehei nikar shehu ner mitzvah. V'leka l'mecha shleitai. What's the reason why you're not allowed to use the Hanukkah candles? Because it should be nikar, that these are for the sake of Pursumei Nisa. These are for the sake of remembering it. Is this the same as either of those positions? So the Beis HaLevi, or the original Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Salvechik, right, the Rav's great-grandfather, so he thought that it's a different shita. If you look at the Beis HaLevi, Perish Rashi, Sheyeh Nikar Shehu Shal Mitzvah Lekal Mech Shal Ataya, you don't worry about playing with it. He says, the Ran gave a different reason. The Ran says it's supposed to be Zecher le Menorah, which means that you're not allowed to use it because, just like you were allowed to use the Menorah. V'hinei l'pirush Rashi, yesh mokom k'tzas l'omar, d'leika yisura rak l'bnei abayis. It could be, Rashi says, it could be that Rashi says, that the only people who aren't allowed to use the candles are the people in the house, meaning the people fulfilling the mitzvah. D'haner hu shalahem. Because what's the whole point? If they were to sit there, right? You walk by a house with a bunch of candles lit, and you see the kids sitting there playing dreidel to the candlelight. There's the only light in there. What are you going to think? You may not think, okay, they're Hanukkah candles. You may think the kids want light so they can play dreidel because that's the only way they can see. So they're not allowed to. But what's going to be the nafkamina?
You walk past and you want a bit of light.
What if you walk past somebody's window and you want to use the light to do whatever you want? Should there be any problem with that?
No. Technically,
so he says, it depends on the reason why you're not allowed to use the Hanukkah candles. If the reason, we'll do it outside, if the reason is because you're not allowed to get Hanukkah from the menorah, so you're not allowed to get Hanukkah from the Hanukkah candles, right? Because it's Isser Hanukkah, then for sure you're not allowed to. Right. But if the reason is simply so that it should be nikar, that the people who lit the candles lit them for the sake of the mitzvah of Hanukkah, then a passerby can use the lights because that's not his problem. He didn't light the candles. He's standing outside. Nobody will say that he lit the candles for his own sake, because he didn't.
But if somebody says another Jew, he knows that it's Hanukkah candles. He knows what they are.
So yeah, but he doesn't care. I mean, he cares, but
he does.
But there's no reason why he can't use them.
But isn't it a mitzvah to get some sort of nod looking at it, even if it's not yours?
No.
Okay.
And he actually uses this. He reads this into different gemaras. If you look at the underlined part, he says, "V'yesh lamar de'lakam an ayri ba'acher ma'hochim barachov de'lahem shari shapir li'shtamish derech ilucham u'mikol makom tashmish genai shapir aser mishum bizur mitzvah." How is he going to read the next gemara? Why does it say that it's aser to light? Once we say that it's aser to get any hana from the candles, right? Ibizera says you're not allowed to use it for your Suda Shabbos. So then why does the Gemara say you're not allowed to use it to count your money? Of course you're not allowed to use it to count your money, right? Leave aside what we saw that the Ran said and the Balamora said about that. Let's, tabula rasa, just look at it as it is. Why does the Gemara tell us that you're not allowed to look at your money?
Why is he giving us that example?
Right. Why that example? So he says that you're not allowed to do even if you're a passerby, because then that's a bizuri mitzvah. But if for any other usage, you would be allowed to use it. If it wasn't a bizui mitzvah, you would be allowed to use it. That's what he would claim.
Why is it a bizui mitzvah?
To use it to count your money? See, he thinks it's a tashmish genai. Because ultimately, it is a mitzvah. Meaning the concept that it's a bizui mitzvah is a pretty standard one. Meaning, like, for the same reason you can't use your tzitzit, right? You're not supposed to, let's say, for instance... I'm makbid on this. Not everybody has to be makbid on this, but like, let's say my glasses, I won't use my tzitzis to clean my glasses. I'll use my shirt, I'll use something else, but I won't use my tzitzis. I think Rosh Hashanah or Bach has a chumrah like that. It's a little bit of a bizui mitzvah. You're using your talis to wipe your glasses. Okay, some people do, some people don't. It's fine, whatever. But the concept of bizui mitzvah, that's why you're supposed to bundle up your tzitzis if you throw them in the garbage. You're allowed to throw them in the garbage. Put them in the bag, do it in a mechubadik way. But that's the idea. That's a standard concept.
Why are you counting money to give to Siddur?
No, so maybe that is a good reason. So then maybe that's not bizui mitzvah. Okay, so now what's the halacha, though? Meaning we have a few positions over here.
Or to pay your staff on time.
So if you look at the Beis Yosef, so he brings these positions, and he mentions one other element, which is important. So he says, "Umashikas of Balha Itter, Davka Tashmi Shal Chol, Aval Tashmi Shal Kedusha Shari." He actually agrees with the
Balamor.
Excellent. He agrees with the Balamor. Ka Kasa Bishbila Leket. He also agrees with the Balamor. Delikros Besefer Laora Mutter Delika Bizer Mitzvah Ela Kavod. He used it for reading a Sefer. Now this may be, yeah, so this is a Sefer of Mitzvah, not Stam a Sefer. So you have a few positions that agree. But then he says, "V'lo nehira l'adoni avia rush." The Torah says, "My father, the Rush, great Ashkenazi Rishon living in Sephardi lands, he didn't agree." Kasav Arush, Amar Rav Yudam Ravasi, Asa Lahartzos Maos Kinegin Yerchanika. That's what we saw. V'afagav the Ifsik Leel the Kol Tashmish Aser Lishtamish Loret Tzrichinan Lahayi Daritzos Maos. He gives another reason why they have to mention this. Dahad Amina Leel Daos Lishtamish Loret Hainu Davka Tashmish Kavua. The Rush says Rav Zeir was teaching us only that you're not allowed to use it for something that's kavua, but he's teaching us. But the second position is very similar to the Ran, that even a tashmish arai, even a very temporary usage, even if it, meaning. Rabbi Zeir was telling us, you're not allowed to sit there reading, right? You're not allowed to sit there, you're not allowed to use it as the main source of light for the room. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you're not allowed to use it to count your money. Maybe you're allowed to use it to count your money. So he says, that's what Rav Yosef is coming along to tell you, you're not even allowed to use it to count your money. V'chein mashma lishan d'kamar k'neged ner chanukah, v'lo kamar aser l'hartzos ma'os l'ora. Okay. So he says, niru midvar d'tashmish arai she'enu shel gnai. But the Tur learns from his father that if you had a Tashmish Arai that was not Shel Gnai, meaning, actually, Ilan, your example, if you were counting money for the sake of Tzedakah, right, then theoretically, that would be Mutter. Because the Tashmish Arai, it's a very small, short usage of the candles, and it's not Shel Gnai because you're using it for a mitzvah, right? Using it for a good purpose. You could come up with other examples as well. Then that actually would be mutter. Dainu sheinu tzarech lioz yad v'smuchos l'ner shari v'lo yadati lama lo kasev v'kein rabbeinu v'rabbeinu yocham. He says, I don't know why they didn't actually say it out loud, but that's what the Torah says. He has another position that sometimes if it's a tashmish sheinu shel gnai, and it's arai, meaning it's very short usage, just very very temporary, then it would be okay. So now let's look at how it comes down. That was the Beis Yosef, right? The Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. That's what he actually says in the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, Shah Salishtamish b'ner Chanukah b'ein b'Shabbos b'ein b'chol. Not allowed to use the lights of Chanukah candles on Shabbos or on Chol. V'afilu livdok ma'os olim nosan la'ora asar. And even to check money is asar. Okay, so far that's all straight up the Gemara. Afilu tashmish shel kedusha kigol nilmod la'ora asar. But then he says, even to learn to the lights is asar. Right? So here he's positioning himself like the Ran. Then, v'yesh mishamatir b'tash mishal kedusha.
All at Rashi.
Because he says you can't learn, but maybe somebody else could?
Yeah.
Maybe. You're the Shulchan Aruch is before Beis HaLevi.
Yeah, so gives us explanation for the Shaman.
No, but Beis HaLevi was explaining Rashi, so you can hold that Rashi.
Yeah, right, in theory. V'yesh mishamatir b'tash mishal kedusha. There are those that allow tash mishal kedusha. We saw this. That's the Baal HaMor. V'nogin ladig nanosav k'deisha im yishtamish lo'ara. And yeah, this is the reason for the shamish, so that that if you do something, you use it last. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does say that you light it last. The Ramat says, "Umabdinos elu ein nogim lahosif rak miniach etzlan hashamish shebehen madig aneros hu adif tfei veish lasos yose arach mishar aneros." Says, but in our lands, we don't add on another one. We use the shamish, right? And that's the one. And it's a little bit longer than the other neros, so that it will last longer than the other neros. So you'll always be using that one for anything you were going to use it for. Im nisarv ner Chanukah. Okay. Let's leave that alone for a second. So basically the Shulchan Aruch didn't really help us. Well, he did help us. If you know the rules of the Shulchan Aruch, the position that he cited first is definitely the optimal one. Right? That's how we work. Sometimes he'll cite two positions. The first one is the optimal one. The other one is ancillary, meaning perhaps in certain circumstances you can rely on it. It's a valid opinion, but that's not the main position. But let's look at how the Mefarshim say. So the Taz says, "Kitzer kan Shulchan Aruch b'mesha havelei levayer the yesh mishamatir b'tash mishal mitzvah hainu derech arai dafka v'lo lulma derech keva." So the Taz cheats here, because the Taz inserts the rush when it looked like he was quoting the Baal HaMor. Now, if you were reading the Shulchan Aruch and you saw that he says v'yesh mishamatir b'tash mishal kedusha, who would he be citing? Who's he citing when he says that? When he says that there are those that allow Tashmish Shal Kedusha, who's he citing?
Balmor
and the Baal Eter and the Shibboleth, right? But the Taz comes in and he says, well, who he's really citing is some version of the Rush. That if it's a Tashmish Shalo Derech Keva, meaning a temporary usage, right? The Balmor didn't say that. That was the Rush that said it. So he's inserting the Rush's version, right? It's something that's not Shal Gnai and it's lo derech keva. That's a little bit cheating, right? Doesn't seem like that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, but that's what the Taz does. Taz says the Shulchan Aruch wouldn't go as far as the Baal HaMor to say you can sit there learning all night. He says lo limo derech keva. If you have to look something up, then you can go look it up. That's what the Taz
says.
That's
the Devar Kedusha or
yeah, because that's on that line. Yeah.
To be mishmash mitzvah.
Right. The Magen Avraham says, Livdok ma'os, shetzarech iun yafa, v'yadav smuchos l'ner. He says, that requires you really looking carefully. Aval tashmish arai, shein tzarech li'oz yadav smuchos l'ner, shari. So he says, so this is really the rush. And here he's saying it kind of outside. He's saying, but if you're like far away from the lights and you're kind of using the lights from far away, then you actually can use it. To look something, to look at money, even for a gnai, that's if you're far away. Ubach pasach la'achmir, but the Bach disagreed. V'kachas v'smach v'sefer truma Dafil lechel etzlo aser ve v'chein ma'ir simin tafreish samachet. Deim lo kein yikne ner chanukah v'yadikere v'beis v'yad gam shalom bayis ela akorcha kol tashmish aser v'achi nahok. He says, in the end, the Magen Avraham is machmer completely and says any usage at all, even from far away, even derech harai, is aser. And that's what he says the halacha is. Now, the last thing over here is the bir halacha. The Mishnah Berurah's bir halacha, he says, in the end, after citing almost all of this, everything we just learned, condensing it all into a few lines, he says, Al korchach, l'anias daiti, is his position. Afilu im nifsak l'halacha, kemaskaras ha-magen Avram, meaning the most machmer position, that you can't use it for anything at all. De betashmish mi'arai, afilu k'shen yadav smuchas l'ner aser. That even for a small usage, even far away from the light, v'shalokadas beis Yosef v'darkei Moshe v'rashal shehatiku dvar v'halacha k'shenitzarif lezeh gam ken k'shehu tashmishi k'dusha v'derech harai k'gon l'ilmod l'ifnein derech harai efshe de l'chuli alme inachem. He says, nevertheless, if you're talking about learning far away from the lights, there it could be that you don't have to be machmir. You could actually use it.
How far is
far? I guess far enough that it's clear
you're not
purposely, you didn't light the lights so that you could read. I would guess that's how far. V'zaod, da'afilu loma b'derech keva, efshar de'en l'achmer. He says, but actually the truth is, it could be that even learning, b'derech keva, sitting down and learning to the light of the candlelight, de'en l'achmer rak b'kdei shiur, that you could do that after 30 minutes. Right? We said before that you only need to really have the candles lit for 30 minutes. This is a legitimate, by the way, this is real. This a lot of people say, that you only need to have the candles lit for 30 minutes, right? After that, it's all bonus. It's all bonus time. So he says, so sit down after 30 minutes to learn.
Now someone is coming by and sees you doing that, know that you...
It doesn't matter, because anyways, we light them inside, and enough people saw it. You got your 30 minutes of people seeing it lit by themselves.
I don't see how, if you're lighting Chanukah and you're sitting away from it and learning, someone thinks you've lit the Chanukah to learn by it.
Well, that was his first thing that he said. If you're far away, then it should be okay.
But if you're far enough away, you can be sitting next to it. You still didn't light the Chanukah in order to learn by it. I mean, it's
that's the whole point of this, though,
is that you may have lit it so that you could learn to the light of the Chanukah.
You might have lit regular candles.
You're right that nowadays with electric lights it would be hard to imagine. But that's 7 years, whatever.
If the guy lights on a Chanukah, well, I guess maybe it's the Chanukah that's changed. Maybe if in the past there wasn't, silver Chanukah with all the things and they just lit candles, then
right, but that's the whole premise over here. The whole premise over here is that you're right that it's hard to imagine somebody making that mistake. But they would.
Once they lit the candles,
their context is clear.
Obviously, big silver Chanukah and whatever else—that's the difference. Okay, so I'm happy with that. But once you've lit big, Chanukah and you've put all the candles.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have such a nice Chanukah.
The fact is, maybe no. Which is why I get that. Yeah. Whatever else. But think of it now. If you're sat in a logical place, sit down next to it, whatever else, because it's there. But you didn't light the candles.
You're only using Rashi's logic. The logic is that it has to be Nikar. What about using the
Rav? Right, that's also true. Yeah, that's also true.
So,
yeah, then it doesn't even matter.
Maybe in those days they used to light a lantern.
You're right. Doesn't matter.
Then they used to rather use the save on the lantern than use the Chanukah.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what he ends up saying is that after the 30 minutes, there's no reason to worry about it.
And that's the whole
30 minutes, all bets are off. Get the chair closer next to the Chanukah.
Blow it out, turn on the lights. Which would make sense according to the logic of the run. That 30 minutes, why should you differentiate between 30 minutes and not 30 minutes? If it's Nikar, why would people know before or after? He can say that's only got a
Chiyuv. No, but again, even if it was about it being Nikar, once you had your 30 minutes of it being Nikar, and that's it.
Right. Okay.
Again, there are those that disagree and say that the entire time that the Chanukah candles are lit, it's part of the mitzvah. But I think the mainstream opinion is not like that.
But you can blow them out after.
Yeah, you could even blow them out. You could. let's spend a little bit of time on the next part. Do we have a minion, by the way? Oh, we do. Excellent. Okay. On the Mahajman and Mahajman. Okay, so this you have to know. All right. Even though it's not going to change anything that you actually do, But it's important to know this. So we said before, right, there's regular mitzvah, which is one ner, and then there's mahadran, which is one per person, and then there's mahadran and mahadran. And you all think you know what that means, unless you've learned this before. And then you do know what it means, and you know it means not what everybody else thinks it means. So, let's say, for instance, we look at the Rambam. The Rambam is going to be clear enough. It will be nearly what we do. Close enough. Rambam says, Kama neros u'madlik b'chanukah, mitzvah sa shetiheha kol bayis u'bayis madlik ner echad ben shehu ben anshe bayis merubin ben shalai ela edam echad. One candle per house. V'mahadras mitzvah madlik neros k'minyan anshe bayis ner l'kol echad ve'echad ben anashim ben anashim. One per person, by the way, for men and for women. V'hamadar yeser al zeh v'otzim mitzvah min emufchar madlik ner l'kol echad ve'echad Now, who is lighting?
So you said before when we were in the Gemara, it's just one.
What do you mean one?
I mean, how do you mean one person? Everyone lights. Not the whole family. Every night, increase.
And who does the lighting?
Kol ish v'isha.
Did the Rambam say that?
Doesn't say that.
Right? It could be the Balabai lights. It could be every single person.
No, for every single person. Not
necessarily. Okay, let's leave that aside for a second. Take a look at Tosfos on the Amud Beis that we had. Tosfos over here. Near the The Beis Shamir Beis Hillel Lo Kaimi Ela Aner Ishu Beiso. Sheken Yesh Yotzer Hider. Deika Hekera Kshemosif Vaholich. O Machaser. Shehu Keneged Yamim Hanichnasim O Hayotzim. Aval. Im Osa Ner Lo Kol Echad. Afilu Yosim Yikan Veilach Lek Hekera. She is Rushikach Yesh Bnei Adam Babayas. Says it must mean that how many candles are being lit according to Mahadran and Mahadran? Tosa says if we say that they're lighting a candle, right, for each person on subsequent nights. So, like what the Rambam says, the Tosfos is a concern. He says people won't actually realize that. Let's say, for instance, that it's the first night because
three people are there, whatever, five people.
Right, you're going to have how many? You're going to have a ton of lights each night. It's going to be all complicated. Every single night is going to be different. So Tosfos says that no. The rule is that it's one candle on the first night, period. Two candles on the second night, period. Not per person.
And it's not Mahadran Minim Mahadran.
That is Mahadran Minim Mahadran.
Mahadran Mahadran is one extra.
That is Mahadran Minim
Mahadran. No confusion, one Hanukkah per lot.
Right. Because if you would have, you know, let's say two people lighting on the second night and they each lit two candles. So Tosa says, how do you know that's four people? It's the fourth night. I don't even know what it is. So he says, that's a Mahadran and a Mahadran is. That's Tosa's position. Okay?
So that's why I didn't do.
So, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kama Neros Madlik, Balayla Rishon Madlik Echad, Mikan Ve'elach Mosif Holech Echad B'chol Layla, Ad Shebelela Acharon Yushmone, V'afilu M'rabi M'nei Ba'ez Laidlik Yoser. He just records, by the way, the Mahadran and the Mahadran, which is one candle per night, period. That's what the Sfaradim do based on. That's the Sfaradim, the Shulchan Aruch says to do based on Tosfos, right? In France. Meanwhile, the Ramah says, V'yeshomer t'kol echad mibnei abayis yadlik. There are those that say that each person in the house lights, and meaning going up, each night they light an extra candle, and that's the minog. And you should be careful to keep them separate, spaced out, so that it's clear to everybody that way solving the problem that Tosos had, that it should be separate, and everybody should be able to see that you have separate people lighting. Ramah Paskin's based on
the Rambam.
So you have that the Shulchan Aruch based Paskin's based on Tosfos, and the Rambam and the Ramah Paskin's based on the Ramah. And the Taz points out you have the Sfaradim following Tosfos, and the Ashkenazim following the Rambam, which is backwards. Not the way it should be.
But why does
but that's the way it worked out.
Like, these, like Mahadran is one person, is one candidate each person in the house.
Right.
Like, I guess
because
the definition of Mahadran is it as
it's not fancy
people taking part in the mitzvah or the way the candles look to the outside.
I guess your question is why is Mahadran Min Mahadran here better than
Mahadran?
Yeah.
Because more people doing it is better.
I honestly don't know. I guess the value that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel put on this idea of going up and down was so great. I don't know what so great about it, but it was so great. Now, what's interesting is the Gra, in his very laconic fashion, Balamor is hard, the Gra is even harder. The Gra is hard, his print is not so small, but his words are small. Almost every single word of the Gra in general, in his Bir HaGra'ah and Shulchan Aruch, is Rashi Tevos. So, you just have to know what he's doing. And also, he doesn't explain himself, usually. He just kind of cites things, and you have to go look them up and understand what he's talking about. So let's try to do that over here. On the Ramah, on the Yeshomer, he says, Kakas of Arambam, Halacha, Nira Shekenhu Das HaRif, and he says, and that's the position of the Rif, Midehevi Meimra de Rabba Barbarchana Amariosi Shnei Zakenim, right? This is the Shnei Zakenim of Zidon. Remember them? Mm-hmm. So he says, why did they bring the Shnei Zakenim? Why did the Rif bring the Shnei Zakenim? The Rif, you have to understand, the Rif is one of the Rishonim, but he's a specific Rishon. The Rambam codified Halacha, but he separated it from the Gemara, right? He just wrote down Halachot. You could learn Gemara with the Rambam, but you have to realize that he's not quoting the Gemara, he's explaining. The Rif, for the most part, just quotes Gemara. You open up the back of the Gemara, you find the Rif, it looks the same as Gemara because he's basically taking pieces of Gemara and just copying and pasting them. He takes things out and some things he leaves in. What does he take out? Well, he leaves in only the things that are actually halacha. Anything he takes out, he thinks is not halacha. He thinks it's a non-standard position. Why did he leave in the story about the Zakenim Mitzidon? That's what the Gras points out. So why did he leave that in? He did. The Rif left it in. But why? What's the point of it? Why do we need to know about it? He says, it's to prove that they were not concerned about the problem of Hekera, of Tosfos. They disagreed about how to do it. Now, hold on 1 second. Right. The Zakenim and Sidon. Right. That was the idea. If you remember, in the Gemara, there were two explanations given for the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Right? The first explanation was the one that we had a little bit of trouble with. Yamim HaYotzim, Yamim HaNechnasim, right? The second explanation was Pariachag versus Malim HaKodesh Vein Moridim. Now, Tosus's problem with the Rambam was what? Tosus says, if you have everybody lighting all kinds of candles, then people are going to get confused about what day it is, right? Now, does it matter if people know what day it is? Well, it depends on which Machlokas, which version of the Machlokes Bishan Beis Hillel you choose. If the problem, if the Machlokes in Bishan Beis Hillel is Yomim HaYotzim versus Yomim HaNechnasim, then it matters what day it is, because the whole point of lighting from 1 to 8 or 8 to 1 is to say there are 8 days left, or this is the first day, right? In which case it matters how many candles people see from outside.
But we said that.
But if the reason is Malin, yeah, but the, that's the whole point. But if the reason for Beis Shammai is Pari HaChag, which means we go down, right? And the reason for Beis Hill is Malin Bekodesh, we go up. Does the specific day actually matter?
Unless they're there for 2 days in a row.
What? You could go from one, and then on the last day you light 20 candles. It would still be Malin Bekodesh, right? It actually doesn't matter how many you light each day, right? So the Gra says the reason why the Rif quotes it is to show that that's the proper explanation for the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Hillel, and that's why the Rambam was not concerned for the Tosfos's problem. In other words, we don't care whether it's Nikar what day it is to the people watching from outside, because that's not the reason why Beis Hillel said that you should light going up. He said you should light going up because of Malam HaKodesh Vilei Morid. In other words, this whole thing about, oh, we have to light one candle on the first day and 8 candles on the last day is wrong. You don't. You could light one candle on the first day and 30 candles on the second day, as long as you light 31 candles on the third day.
Did we disregard?
And that's why he quotes this, the Zakenim Mitzidon, to show that they said that that was the explanation for the Machlokes being Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It's the only value that they provide to us. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Oh, so did we disregard the first reason for the machloket? Did we say that wasn't
the riff? The Gra is claiming that the riff, by quoting the Zakenim Mitzidon, is disregarding that first explanation for the machlokas.
Oh, why did the Zakenim Mitzidon do that? Why does that show us that it disregards the first one?
Because the only explanation they give for Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and the Gemara goes out of its way to tell us the explanation they give, is Pari HaChag and Malam Marigle. We already knew it. Why does the Gemara even tell us this story? Why does it even tell us this story? Because it doesn't add anything except what I said before, that they actually could follow Beis Shammai. It's a pretty brilliant insight.
But the Gra therefore shows that only one person in the family should light. It's only one person. Only one person would light.
According to whom?
According to the Gra, only one person.
Because Mahajim and Mahajim, the Rambam says, means several people light. The Tosfos and the Rambam argue about what Mahajim and Mahajim means.
He wouldn't be, but because he's quoted the Rif, who inferred that it matters which night it is. It matters.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I see. Okay,
it doesn't matter.
So the Gra basically holds that everyone has to light.
Well, he's saying that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam follows the Rif. Tosfos may say we don't follow the Rif.
Maybe that's why we said also you'll have to shamash afterwards and not before.
I don't know. Maybe. There was one thing that the Griz points out, that the Rama doesn't really follow the Rambam. He uses the Rambam. The Rambam could be that he says that only one person lights for everybody. One person lights for everybody. He lights a lot of candles, but one person lights. And the Rama says each person in the house lights. That's what he says. The kol echad mimnei abayis yadlik. The Rama says that, right? Which is definitely what we do. But it could be that the Rambam wants one person to light for everybody.
And this idea that there's more and more lights, you see a progression either more and more lights or fewer and fewer lights. If you hold that you're lighting for the different people that are in the house, and there are a different number of people in the house on different days,
right?
Then you may have a problem that it's not such a...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying if you lit...
If all the cousins were staying over the first night or whatever else, and then on the middle or whatever else, they all went out.
In theory.
Halfway through Chag, they all went out.
In theory, you could have a problem with that. I guess the response would be no, because each one is lighting by himself. Like, no, it's not like the... aggregate number of candles, maybe you say the aggregate number of candles in the house, but rather each person's set of candles. But that's a good point.
Half the number of people each day, then you're okay.
Do you?
Right?
No, we're not.
All right, we will we'll stop there. Shkoyach, everyone. Good job.
Congrats, Mr. Darren. Let me just ask you a question about